June Millington, singer, guitarist, and lifelong rock and roller, has run into just about any and every boneheaded assumption there is about women in music down through the years. Girls in the rock world of the 60s and 70s weren't expected to play their own instruments, but Fanny, the all-female band she and her sister Jean led, could hold its own with any of its contemporaries, quickly blowing past any preconceptions the audience might have with sheer musicality. It wasn't always easy, but June has always been sustained by her music. She's in Hawaii for a weekend concert on the Big Island, and we spoke about those early days.
The thing that made the difference was that we had started to play and learn how to play our own instruments and in a band before we got to L.A. in 68, 69. Mm-hmm. And that was critical. You know, I mean, we already knew how to play. We'd already jammed a lot with a lot of players up north. And as you know, the whole San Francisco scene, Oakland, was exploding. So that kind of washed over us. And we already learned a lot before we got to L.A. and started to record. So we had a little bit of confidence already about, hey, we can turn this audience around. We can turn any audience around, really. You know, we kept encountering those types of, you know, sneering attitudes, or girls can't play or girls shouldn't play.
Yeah.
But we already knew how to play. So the cat was out of the bag for us, you know, and it was fun. Nobody was going to stop us, actually. But, you know, we still kind of encounter that now. You just have to prove that you're good, that's all.
But, you know, it has always amazed me that I don't know why that has to be so surprising, because it's not as if women hadn't been accomplished musicians for centuries in all kinds of music.
You're right. You're exactly right. I'm happy to hear you say that.
Well, I mean, you know, there's nothing inherently male about rock and roll that I'm able to understand. Is there?
Well, I just wish I'd known about Sister Rosetta Tharpe before I heard Chuck Berry, because, you know, I'm pretty sure he took a page or two out of her book.
Of course. Well, well, who wouldn't, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But the whole history of guitar, you know, Mother Maybelle Carter, right? Yes, Elizabeth Cotton. I mean, there are many pioneers in the world of guitar music who were female, and their history gets sort of glossed over, as you say, Sister Rosetta, right?
Yeah. Well, I wrote my autobiography in part to set the record straight, because I figured if I didn't tell the story from the inside of what it looked like for us, then that just simply wasn't going to come out, and people would always make the same mistakes and references, you know, or say where we learned this, that, or the other thing. And I want to be very clear about, you know, where we got it from. Definitely started with folk, and then we went right into funk and Motown.
When
and that's
you first,
the vernacular of the blues.
The vernacular of the blues, amen.
And we already knew that, thank God, before we got to L.A., because that was really big. You know, we really had to be good before we started recording.
Yeah.
Because we had to prove something. We really did.
Well, it's interesting that a lot of the music that you perform in those early years were the so-called music of the so-called girl groups, you know, the Supremes, the Ronettes, where, you know, women were part of popular music if they wore matching prom dresses and hairdos and got up in front of the band, right?
Yeah. Yep. Or, oddly enough, there were audiences in the early days, in the mid-60s, when we'd walk into a club, say, in Canada or maybe the Midwest, where they were expecting a topless band. They didn't even know that they hired women who wore blouses. You know, I'm like, give me a break. But then we'd start to play, and they'd freak out, you know, because they'd never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
And you can't, the thing about music is you can't resist it. If it's good and it moves you, you can't resist. You can't really stay with your anger, you know?
Yeah.
Or your resentment, really, that somebody else plays really well.
If you wanted to be resentful, you've been in a unique opportunity to develop.
Well, I work on that all the time. I just try to be grateful. I mean, it's amazing I'm still playing. I'm still writing. I get to record. I get to pass it on. Me, Gene, and Bree, who was one of our early drummers in the Svelts, actually, in high school, we're actually going to do an album this year. We're going to do pre-production next month and record in the fall. So it's going to be full circle, and we're writing a lot of our own equipment, a lot of our own songs. So I'm really excited about that.
That's
so I
great.
Feel really grateful that I get to do it, and in a lot of ways I'm better than I was before, because I have so much more wisdom behind everything I do.
you know, Juna, to me, one of the best things about music is it's one of the things in life that does get better as other things get less good, right?
Yeah.
You can always grow if you stay at it.
Yeah, and, you know, it's amazing because I used to be, like, you know, fairly uptight about trying to be good or as good as others or write, you know, certain types of songs or just say a great song, and now I just kind of find it happening. And
yeah.
If you would have told me I was going to be in my 60s and still playing and it was actually getting easier and I was just as good, I mean, I just wouldn't have believed it, but it's true, and I feel like it's a little bit of a bonus from the universe for sticking around this long and for never stopping. I never stopped playing. I mean, people think I disappeared after Fanny, but I did a lot of things, including still record and write, and I went into a genre called women's music and recorded and produced records in that genre. So
yeah.
I've always been busy.
Well, I mean, when you say you're grateful that you've continued, but, you know, did you have a choice? I mean, music wasn't about to leave you.
Well, that's true. That's true. I mean, I thought about leaving it a few times, but no, you're right. I didn't have a choice. You know, I had to do it. Had to.
Well, you know, but there's a distinction to be made between the world of music trying to make it and the world of music, just pure music, pick up your guitar and make
some. Yes. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And you know, it's a balance, really. If you can negotiate that balance somehow as you learn how to live and how to be a human being, then you got a shot. You know, it really is all in the balance.
But if you combine the effort to become a human being with your music,
mm-hmm.
then you've got music that has a kind of a pure intention, which is kind of what
Absolutely.
We're all looking for, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
You know, in fact, that's why I left Fanny. I didn't really know why I had to leave, but I just had this feeling, you know, I'm not going to grow here in Hollywood. I'm not going to grow in this milieu where I've already been pegged as this chick lead guitar player because, I mean, I can do that. But there was so much more I knew that was yet untapped or needed to be developed, and I had to find a way to do that. And I really think that not only saved my life, but saved an essential part of my creativity so that I could grow under the radar. Because, you know, again, people have said, oh, well, you disappeared. Where did you go? I was doing that. I was diving deep, you know, and it's a serious job. And now here I am popping up again. And as I have again and again and again, I never disappeared, really. Popping up with a new confidence, a new sense of joy and having fun with it all. You know, it's like, hey, man, look and see what these 60-year-old chicks can do now.
June Millington, guitarist and singer-songwriter, will perform Saturday evening at Kilauea Military Camp Theater in Volcano on Hawaii Island. She'll read from her autobiography, Land of a Thousand Bridges, Island Girl in a Rock and Roll World. It's a benefit for the Institute for the Musical Arts. It starts at 7 p.m., and you can learn more about it on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page.